About 25 years ago, we had a function we were working on, and I don't know if you remember a Carter rental that was kind of going up the hill towards Des Moines after you crossed the river. It was a Carter rental, and we rented quite a few things from them, and there were these unusual-looking curved tables. And I think we rented at least three of them. I'm not exactly sure. I know it was more than one. It's two or at least three. And we got to the venue, and we were putting things together. And one of these tables was terribly warped. And there were some other things that we weren't happy with. And I took them back, and it was just me. And the lady, probably the one of the owners, she said, "You're very thorough." So the lesson this morning is selective, picky, or thorough. When she said, "You're very thorough," she was being very nice about it because I knew she meant I was being picky. It was the only time we were going to do this in our lives, and we wanted to do it right. So it was important that the things that we were renting were what we really wanted, and not having settled for something less than that. For some time, I've been thinking about selective worship, selective religion, and so forth. That was my topic, and it was really strange that I was listening to what some people call Christian radio. And it wasn't all Christmas music. It was actually a sermon. It was this gentleman was talking about selective worship, selective Christianity. Also, recently, I haven't seen a lot of this, but there was a man that really did an excellent job of pointing out the flaws in Joel Osteen's messages and his prosperous theology. Some people aren't meant to be rich. Some people will never be rich, and they shouldn't feel like they're a failure if they aren't. But Joel has a tendency to only preach part of the Bible and ignore much of the rest of it, a selective worship. Selective Christianity is not a new problem. It's when we force the Bible to fit our agenda. It's when we promote that which supports our cause and ignore or play down those scriptures, those passages that don't fit with our agenda. A pick-and-choose religion that makes people feel good, self-stroking the barrel, or even tunnel vision. These things were called heresy much earlier in Christianity. Heresy. It's from a Greek word meaning choice, being selective on what you worshipped. We've seen that in our history. We see prophecy is going to happen in the Bible. We read from Timothy and Titus this morning in the auditorium class. Those books talk about how the church was to be, but we know that is also talking about, especially in Timothy, about the failure of what was coming, that some people wouldn't support the truth, and they would have certain things they would consider important and not be a kind of a theocracy that the church is. We have one God, and He is over us, and He has left very few people between us and the congregation. I mean, we have officers, but the officers here are just as much part of the service to God as anyone else. None of us are really better than one another. We are in a religious theocracy. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the groom, and we're the bride, and we're to serve him, not a council. Not a organization that is contrary to Scripture, that selects certain tenets to be over others and determine what the doctrine of their religious body will be. This was called heresy earlier. Heresy, that's a strong word. But it's important that we aren't partakers of heresy. Selective, we want what we want, hold dear, and ignoring many other things which are needed to be righteous. Selective is like going to a Hyvir fairway. Now, this isn't a perfect example. A perfect example would be that we would need every product on the shelves. But the selective part of it is like, you know, when we go to the store, comparing this to religion and how many people worship today, we only go for certain products that appeal to us. And thankfully, we don't buy everything in the store. But a selective religion is like just picking and choosing. When you need everything in the store, Christ's store, the church, you need everything. But you have restrictions, you have certain elements that you want. Some of my family has yielded to this. Religiously, we're not going to accept the church as it's always been. We're going to just have a couple elements of it that we're going to maintain. Like we need to partake of the Lord's Supper. We need to be baptized for remission of sins. Everything else is flexible. It's okay if women are elders. It's okay if women are over men in the church. This is what happens when you have a selective view of Christianity. Only certain things are appropriate to you. In the Old Testament, I always think of these things when, like, we've been studying on Wednesday night. We've been studying about the ark. We're talking about the temple and the tabernacle and the sacrifices and all these things. And we think back to the first sacrifice that I can think of was when Cain and Abel were given the request. We'll find out this until Hebrews 11 and 4, I believe it is. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Abel is still speaking to us today. He's been dead since almost the first of creation, but his sacrifice of an animal with its fat, I think this definitely means it's dead. He separated the fat from the animal. But Abel is dead, but he's still showing us that it's important to listen to God. They both had the instructions. Abel chose to do it as God wanted. Cain chose to alter, be selective, and not offer a sacrifice as God wanted. A sacrifice that needed blood. God didn't even allow his son to not have to get by without offering his blood, the blood that cleanses us from our sins. Why did God have these rules and regulations and so many things that we studied in Exodus and Leviticus? Why were things so exact? It's because God is our designer. He designed man. And I had to go back to the very first chapter of the Bible yesterday I went back to it. And when Eve took of that fruit, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate also, The Lord said, they are now like us. I've never been so impressed with something that I've skipped over so many times before, that when man, Adam and Eve, partook of that fruit, they became like God. Not as perfect, but God, the Lord, could see that they were like them more than they'd ever been before. Created man in his own image, but now, with the knowledge of good and evil, they were more like God. And God had some animals there that he made, took their skins and made them clothing, because they realized they were naked. The only way this congregation and its ministry can survive and have any hope for the future is each of us doing all that we can do for the church. Robert Flack. The only way this congregation and its ministry can survive and have hope for the future, any hope for the future, is each of us doing all that we can do for his church. It's my observation, and hopefully it's wisdom, that when people try to get by with not doing all they can, and not doing all that we can do, that starts to create a wedge between where you need to be. If you're not here when you can be, when you don't take advantage of gospel meetings, when you have opportunities and you don't do them, you are selectively worshiping God. We know something could happen. I'm not terribly fearful that we're going to lose all this, the membership that we have here. I know the church is always going to be. It may not always be here. We've had a prophecy of things that are going to happen before the end of time, and we see some of them. I have a feeling it's not going to be the Catholic Church. But you know, there's other people that refrain from meats and so forth, other religions that don't say everything is okay if it's eaten in Thanksgiving. I always wonder if the Islamic community will be the new threat before the end of time. But I know, and why I love Daniel so much, he puts everything in order and perspective, and the church will always be here somewhere. It may have to be in one of our homes, or I don't know what the future. I'm not sure our best years as a nation are ahead of us. The church is always going to exist, but are we going to be willing to meet with it? Are we going to be willing to spend the energy to be part of Christ's body? Something that tells me this is just because of the Bible alone telling about all the cities and like the letters, you know, to all the congregations in Revelation. And there may still be people in those cities that are practicing Christianity, but it sure doesn't look like it when they're so dominated by Islam and selective worship. I don't know what the future has in store for us, but I'm encouraged by what this congregation came together And I'm very pleased with this congregation and how they serve the Flack family. We can really come together and do some things really right. I hope we don't lose a lot more members because of death to test us or to try our patience. But we really know how to do things right at times. We just need to see more of it. We need to see better attendance. Not being selective on when we worship, but trying to always be there when the door is open. So are we selective? I hope only in a good way, not in just failure to do everything, but selecting that we check all the boxes, that we try to do everything that we need to be a Christian. Picky, I don't like the sound of the word. But yeah, we need to be picky. But most importantly, we need to be thorough. So she wasn't probably mean to give me a compliment, but she used the best word for it when she said, "You're very thorough." I'm not very thorough. I just was at that time. There's lots of things I need to be more complete about. We love this group of people. We have a love for each other. Help us to be there for one another as we were for Marge and the girls and their family. We do things very well. Let's just continue on and keep that as our goal, to be there for one another. There's that time when probably got Marge and the girls through. I called it adrenaline and the grace of God. That it was easy to get through the service. You had things to do for that loved one. Things that you want to respect their life, celebrate their life here on this earth. But we need to be with you later when there's nothing more that you can do. That was the worst feeling of all. So let's praise God. We're happy for Bob, but we're sad. Best thing we can do is what he said. The only way this congregation can minister and survive can't read my writing. The only way this congregation and its ministry can survive and have any hope for the future is each of us doing all that we can do for his church. That's wisdom. We offer you the gospel invitation this morning. Don't know what your needs are. I'm rather bothered with myself. Had things really, really in order mentally. When I put them down on the paper, it didn't seem like it came across that well. So let's make this lesson about remembering Bob and doing what Bob wants, because Bob was a Christian and he was a good friend, a great friend. Whatever we can do, if you like to place a membership to this congregation, we need you. Whatever we can do to help you further in your Christian life, come forward as we stand and sing the song.